Welcome to Designed for More, brought to you by Common Reason Ministries and Honey Lake Clinic. Join Dr. Timothy Jennings, a renowned expert in psychiatry, neuroscience, and spiritual well-being, as he explores the connections between mind, body, spirit, and relationships.
Hello, welcome to Designed for More, sponsored by Common Reason Ministries and Honey Lake Clinic. I'm Dr. Tim Jennings, joined today by James Johnson, our chief chaplains here, and also Brett Durbin, who is on our chaplaincy staff and also works with our church outreach and partners. And today we're going to be talking about a topic I think that is actually quite concerning to me, AI. And we're titling this AI and the Human Soul. AI and the Human Soul. Artificial intelligence. It is big money corporations. It's coming everywhere. As you know, Bible believers, pastors, chaplains, any concerns about AI and its impact?
You know, it's kind of funny when this kind of first started becoming more prevalent. I grew up, you know, on movies and TV shows that really portray this as an apocalyptic world-ending kind of thing.
Talking about like Terminator?
Yeah. Okay. You know, and so this idea of, man, if it goes live and, you know, what happens when artificial intelligence becomes sentient? And there really is, you know, this, on the one hand, a spirit of fear around it. But there's also a lot of people on the other side that are saying, oh, well, people said the same thing when the internet came out. People said the same thing when the personal computer came around. The word processor, the typewriter. It's just another type of, well, they were saying that this was going to ruin things, the world, life as we know it. You know, oh, once the internet's out, that's how, you know, the beast is going to take control of people. I mean, there's a lot of people that in the world I grew up in that saw these technological advances as negative, and there were people on the other end that saw them as positive. And I think that's true of AI as well, that some people are hailing it as this miracle, wonderful tool that we can use. And there are people on the other end, they're like, is this the Terminator coming to get us? So I'm excited to talk about it.
So there's a difference between typewriters, even regular computers, and an entity that has the ability to make autonomous and independent choices and decisions. A computer can't do that.
Right.
Your typewriter can't do that.
Right.
Cell phone can't do that. So I
agree with you. I'm just saying that's the two general frameworks that I usually hear this from.
I'm shooting that general framework down because the thing that we want this to focus on is there a concern about us creating a technology that could act independently of us.
Mm-hmm.
That's the concern.
Yeah, and I think the fear of kind of what we've grown up with in some of those movies and all that, it's like, I remember Superman. You remember the Superman where the computer all of a sudden starts killing people and taking them in, and you're like, what is happening? And that was almost this is what we're talking about is, you know, does this thing become sentient? Do we start looking at it as either a part or a replacement for the soul? That's a different conversation.
We're going to unpack that too.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, the idea that we create an organism, organisms,
mm-hmm.
Made out of molecules,
right?
You know, carbon, iron, copper, that have processors that can think and make choices. You know, some will argue eventually that these AIs become living organisms, mm-hmm. with silicon base instead of carbon based. Yay. And the expectation, in fact, I've actually heard some people that are experts in this field that I've listened to say that, the Turing test, you know, mm-hmm. the Turing test is that for all practical purposes, the AI's now passed that,
mm-hmm.
that they are sapient, sentient, independent thinking organisms. Do we have, in the Christian worldview, do we have any concerns about that and why?
Very much so.
Why?
Because it's not something that God created. It's something man created. And it's very easy to confuse those two things and equate, or I guess conflate them, that is there more to the, when we talk about the soul, you know, is there more to it than just intelligence? Is there more to it than just reasoning and critical thinking? Is there more? Is it something deeper?
Maybe we should define that biblically. You know, the Bible says we're three-parted organisms that are embodied,
mm-hmm.
and become functional when they're all together.
Right.
Body, soul, and spirit. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
And Paul says in Thessalonians, we need to be sanctified in spirit, soul and body. He puts them in that order, spirit, soul, and body.
Right.
Do we need to differentiate those?
Yes. You know, let's define them, yeah.
Because my view, AI does not have at least one of those. Mm-hmm. And that's your problem. AI, my view, the body is the machine, mm-hmm. the physical structure. Anything you can physically touch, even if it's microscopic, it's part of the body. Are we good with that so far? That would be analogous to the computer's hardware.
Right.
Okay. Software would be the psyche or the, mm-hmm. and that's the Greek for soul.
Right.
This is the individuality, unique elements of your beliefs, thoughts, feelings, attitudes, memories. This is what makes you uniquely your unique person. Mm-hmm. Which would be software. And that's every computer. I have a particular model here, and there's probably millions of the same exact model, but there's only one that's mine because I have unique data stored on it, and there's not another one like it. So, you know, your memories, your experiences, your beliefs, your choices, the character that you have developed is uniquely you, and there's not another one like you. Even if you have an identical twin, identical twins might have the same, you know, genetic structure, but they are not the same people.
No.
Does that make sense to everyone?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then the spirit, so a computer has hardware, has software. It also has an energy source, electricity. And for the computer, the machine, it is simply that, a power source. But we have a power source for life. God breathed into Adam the breath of life, and he became a living being, the animating energy that gives us life. And you know the Greek, it's in the Greek, pneuma, mm-hmm. and we get, wind, breath, as in breath of life, spirit and or ghost, all English words translated from that. That's the animating energy. Unlike the computer's electricity, the animating energy that came from God had a quality to it, love and trust. They were brought to life in a perfect love, trust experience. My understanding is when they sinned, they corrupted their spirit with fear and selfishness. And their motivator animated now with fear and selfishness, which then cascades back on their thoughts. Their soul gets corrupted with thoughts of that are all distorted. And then that results in actions that cascade down both through the neurobiology and through their choices that harm their body, which then reinforces back. And because we're embodied, all elements are now being corrupted and corroded by this. Any disagreement so far?
No.
Okay. So what an AI does not have, it does not have a connection with the Spirit of God.
That's right.
It doesn't. It can have electricity, but electricity is not Spirit of God. It's analogous to the life-giving energy of God, but it is not His Spirit moving upon it. We are created as beings who the Spirit of God can actually move upon our hearts and minds with, if you're a prophet, actual visions of things. Paul was taken away in vision. He could see things because his brain is being acted upon by the Spirit of God, or conviction, not as of sin, but of duty. You've had, or the still small voice that you hear the voice of God, but not through your ears. This is all the Spirit of God working on our neurobiology to enlighten us, move us, convict us, draw us, woo us. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
A computer doesn't have that, and it can never have that.
That's right.
And therefore, number one, they're dangerous because they're disconnected from God,
mm-hmm.
and they're built by sinners. You know, put those two pieces together, disconnected by God, and they can't be connected to Him because they have no spirit, and they're programmed by sinners.
Yes.
Am I the only one that sees a problem in this?
That's a huge problem because we're sinners, and that's the first major part of it. But there's two other qualities of God that we don't have, which we don't have omniscience. We're not all-knowing, and we can't know all things to program these things with all the right information and to know how all those outcomes are going to go. And we also, God is sovereign, exists outside and works through time. We can't see all the different things that these kings can do. And without those two things to make it, we're never going to be able to make it in a perfect way that doesn't guarantee a negative outcome. Or guarantee a positive outcome.
Maybe omniscience, that's a really good point too, is that I think what's going to end up happening is we're going to have a lot of people that start seeing, because they're already saying that some of the AI systems now are already surpassed in terms of the smartest human being mm-hmm. on the planet. And so if intelligently and intellect, they're already advanced to that point, you know, some people, I think, will start seeing them as, well, they're omniscient.
Mm-hmm.
They know everything. Well, they know all the information that's out there, right? So we can follow them. I mean, they're not going to leave.
It's already happening. It's already happening.
100%. And I think it's going to get worse. I think as they develop and it becomes stronger and stronger. Yeah.
So I'm going to put an idea out there. I want you all to shoot it down if you think I'm completely fraudulent and wrong on this. Okay. But I'm going to put this idea, and I'm going to try to make a case for it. The development of AI and the advancement of AI is satanic, and it's part of Satan's agenda to destroy the image of God in human beings. That's a strong statement.
It is.
Okay. I think it is absolutely part of his end time agenda for the destruction of the image of God in people. He wants to be a creator. He cannot create. He cannot create. He is not a creator. He is not a procreator. He can't. We have been gifted by God the ability to create beings in our own image.
Mm-hmm.
This is a mechanism for a pseudo creation of intelligent life.
Sure.
It's what it is. It is. But it's not coming through the mechanisms of our creator God, from him or delegated through the avenues that he built into reality. It is outside of that. Mm-hmm. And it's inspired to create an intelligent, free-thinking entity disconnected from the influence of the Spirit of God. It's demonic. I'm making a case for it.
Yes.
And if that's the case, I think you're making a strong case for it. Or if that is a reality.
I haven't even got to the consequences showed yet.
I know, I get you. Yeah. But I think the struggle when this conversation begins, and even in the conversation right now that we're having, in my own mind even, I'm thinking, yeah, but there's really good, valuable ways of using AI that are making things move faster, making your job easier, making things that just, you can get more done. So there can be more productivity. Even if you're looking at it as a, how can I spread the gospel more? I'm sure it's being used in some ways for that. So it's almost like you have this, well, but I'm using AI. Does that mean I'm using some satanic thing? That becomes a bit of a hot button conversation. It's like, oh, well, yeah, if you're using ChatGPT, it's satanic. That's a tough conversation to have with folks.
So I
get where you're going with, if the ultimate goal is a, an intelligent being that replaces us or even take it to the step of, you hear people talk about like the Neuralink stuff. Are we going to be forced to take that to just be able to maintain what everyone else already has? I'm going to be like fumbling around and just be an old human if I don't have Neuralink in my brain. Mm-hmm. That's a scary thing to think about. It's like, so you have to do this. It goes back to the weird conversation we were having.
So the Neuralink is a piece I was going to get to later.
Okay, sorry.
Okay. No. But you're bringing it. But the AI stands separate from that.
Mm-hmm.
The Neuralink, in my view, and I want people to understand that the goal of Satan is to destroy the image of God in human beings and replace God's image with his own. He wants us to be image bearers of him. He wants to sit in the spirit temple where Christ should sit. And he disagreed with this idea.
No.
Okay. And so how can he get there? Well, obviously, historically, always through false forms of worship. By beholding, we become changed. So if we worship him as Messiah, okay, then we can become like him, and he can get in there through false worship. That's historically, biblically, documented. Romans 1 and many other places, they exchange the truth of God for a lie, and their minds became dark and depraved and futile and so forth. So that's historic. But the Neuralink, you implant a Neuralink, this is my view, you will cut yourself off from the Holy Spirit. You will actually wire into your brain an electric device that will be able to activate neural circuits artificially, which will impair the still small voice and your ability on the quantum elements of your brain to respond to the movements of the Holy Spirit, because you will constantly be occupied and preoccupied with the tone and signal coming from the neural link. And my view is it won't be forced on anybody. The devil did not force the fruit on Eve. He made it appealing. So she chose it.
Well, it's like I said, if you don't have it, can you even compete anymore?
Well, this is what's going to happen. It's going to be all to your advantage. It's going to be promoted that you will be able to have all this data, all this access. You'll be integrated. You'll be more effective. You'll be smarter. You'll be better. You'll be this. You'll be that. And what will actually happen is the image of God in you will be destroyed, and you will become a drone. Eventually, as this technology advances, there's no doubt in my mind, as it advances, we're not there today, but if this were to happen, as it advances, this technology, which will be interfacing with AIs, will be able to program you.
And that's a big differentiator, because when we talk about technology that enables our physical bodies, this is very different from one of the arguments that's tossed around when we talk about technology, AI, all these kinds of things, is at what point do we replace enough organic parts with technological parts that we no longer become human? And you know, if I have...
Yeah, I don't want to go there
yet. No, but I'm saying like talking about the mind is the important part.
Yeah,
if I get a pacemaker to help my heart,
yeah,
very different than a neural link that can have something change the way...
Yes. You know,
that's why God, when he does supernatural miracles of healing, give somebody eyeballs.
Yeah.
You know, he will, you know, and that's an interpretation of the mud that gave, you know,
I'm with you. Yeah.
You know, that he can give a person who's lame or paralyzed the ability to walk again, but he will never force himself on our minds unless we partner with him and ask him to say, God, help transform my mind to the power of your Holy Spirit.
That's right.
But if I,
because why?
Because of the law of liberty and love.
The law of liberty and love. And though, not because he doesn't have the power to do it.
Right.
But if he did it against a person's choice, he actually erases their identity and replaces them. He can't save your unique personhood without your voluntary acceptance of all the truths that he's leading you to. You have to choose and say, yes, I want that. Yes, yes. And then you're still you. But if he reaches in and makes a change against your own will, he either turns you into a robot or erases you.
Right. And that's why I wanted to hit. I know that we don't have a whole conversation, but I wanted to touch on that's the difference between something like a pacemaker, something like a Neuralink.
Yes. Okay. But back to the AI question.
Yes.
Okay. The AIs themselves, and back to this argument that I think they're satanically inspired for the ultimate corruption of the image of God in people. Neuralinks potentially, let's take the Neuralinks out.
Mm-hmm.
Just the use of them. First off, we can only create beings in our image. Anything we program them with, they will be with our flaws and our values.
Exactly.
Where does a conviction of sin come from in a heart? Is it natural to the human heart that they actually have inside themselves the ability to have clarity in what is sin and not a sin? Or is it the work of the Holy Spirit? Isn't it the work of the Holy Spirit on the heart?
Yes.
They don't have a connection with the Holy Spirit. Get your mind around the impact of an intelligent entity thinking and making decisions based on what values, and there is no Holy Spirit to convict them of any morality. It will always be the lowest common denominator, the greater good, valuing. This is why the future movies show this, because you give them a goal or an agenda. This has already been shown with the AIs. You tell the AI, it's documented multiple times, I need a brief for this court to make this argument. Create me a brief that will make this argument, and the AI pumps this thing out. It's actually already at least one case that has been identified where the lawyer turned it in, and most of the case law that they cited were fabricated by the AI. It didn't exist. They just fabricated it. Now, a human wouldn't do that because they know you're not supposed to fabricate things. The AI was given instruction. There's no moral right or wrong. You meet the thing and you just create it and you fabricate it.
Yes,
you just make it up.
The paperclip thought.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is what you're. And then there's already data showing the more AI you have do for yourself, the less capable you are of doing for yourself.
Mm-hmm. MIT did that study. Yeah.
Yes. You actually lose abilities to create. What is the last fruit of the Holy Spirit? Self-control. And then the mature in Hebrews 5:14 are those who've developed by practice the ability to discern the right from the wrong. And when we start deferring to AI to problem solve for us, how many people can't balance their own checkbooks anymore? Can't do basic math?
Yeah.
Why? Because they don't do it. They use a calculator. Nothing wrong with a calculator. But using a calculator, they don't even know how to do math anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a calculator. You're putting the numbers in. You're at least knowing to push the plus and the minus sign.
Yeah, the law of exertion. Yeah.
Okay? But if you're not exercising, how many phone numbers did you know when you were a kid? How many phone numbers do you know now?
Mm-hmm. Like two.
I mean, seriously. Why?
My wife and mine.
Because this is the law of exertion.
Yep.
If you want something to get stronger, you must exercise it. Because if you don't use it, you lose it. That's not just muscles. It's neurobiology. If you're not exercising skills, music skills, language skills, math skills, reasoning skills, the actual brain atrophies and shrinks. Okay? There's no doubt in my mind that the devil does not want critically reasoning people who have developed the ability to discern right from wrong. That he wants mindless drones. who somebody else tells them the answer. And you see this happening in our society today. Well, and there are two types of, two grand types of the way people make decisions, and two types of authority. Yeah. When Jesus is said in the New Testament, he would speak, and it says that the people were amazed because he spoke as one with authority. And I asked my church groups this. Try to read that question and say, what authority was he speaking? You know what the answer, the almost first thing that they will say? Well, he was the Son of God. And he was using that authority there. He revealed himself as the Son of God, and he was speaking from his throne as the Son of God. No, he wasn't. Yes, it's factual, but that's not the authority he's using, is it? Did he speak with the authority of the Sanhedrin, the church authority? Did he speak with the authority of Rome, like Pilate, when Pilate speaks? And what authority is he speaking with? And this is what most people don't get. He spoke with the authority of truth. And the way, the truth, and the life. Truth on any subject matter, it has authority of its own. If it's true, it's authoritative. He spoke with it. That's why it resonates. This is true. Wow. It's got authority. That's the one type. That's God's kingdom, the kingdom of reality. He's the God of reality. And God always speaks truth. So, of course, he always speaks with authority. But there's another type of authority, the authority of office, the authority of position, the authority of the Pope, the pastor, the president, somebody in office speaks. This is the authority that the child looks to. Why don't you do this? Because mom said not to. Why do you brush your teeth? Because mom said I'm supposed to. Not the authority of truth and how reality works, but the authority of the person who's told them the answer. And so two people learning math, and one person, they both learn 2 + 2 = 4. You ask the one, why is 2 + 2 = 4? Because the teacher said so. Why is it? Because this is how math works, and this is how addition, subtraction, they understand the principles of mathematics, okay? They both have the right answer, but they have two different types of authority. One, the laws and principles of math, how it works. The other, because the person in authority says so. Satan's goal is to get people to be the people who follow the authority of office and ignore the authority of truth. And you can see this in our society today. Have you ever wondered why intelligent people who know, they absolutely know what they are saying is evidentially and obviously false, but they say it anyway? I'll give you an example. Certain political leaders on the left have publicly stated in the last few months on news channels that Donald Trump has dementia. It's obviously false when you see him doing a 3-hour back and forth interview and answering questions. That is, anybody who has eyes to see and ears to hear can look at that and go, you may disagree with him. He is not demented.
Yeah.
Okay. Why would they say it though, if it's obviously, I mean, anybody can see that's not true. Because a whole segment of our society has no clue how to look at reality. They look to the person in charge, and the person in charge and authority has said it. It must be true.
Yeah.
That's how Satan works. He is the God of lies, the God of proclamations, the God of claims, the God of believe because it said so, not because it is so. Okay. This is AI. Mm-hmm. This is what AI will do to people. AI will teach people to trust the intelligence and the research and the spewing out of what the AI says. Don't understand why it's true. Don't understand. Don't think it through critically. Just believe.
And this is really scary when we think about some of the ways we're already seeing AI being incorporated into people's lives. Like, you know, if it's an artificial intelligence that's a therapist or a psychiatrist, and we say, oh, I'm going to go to my AI therapist because it's free or much more affordable than paying a licensed therapist or psychiatrist by the hour to go to a practice. And they've got the latest information already uploaded in the internet, all these textbooks worth of information, and it's going to give me its undivided attention. A human can't do that. So I'm going to go to my AI psychiatrist instead. Well, I'm just trusting it's actually giving me truthful evidence, actual real things. Or take that another step further. People are starting to say, well, I'm going to go to my AI pastor.
They actually have, I've heard of one where they set up the AI to be Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And you can pray to it.
And if we're already seeing that level of manipulation in a couple of legal brief examples, what would it do for my mental health? What would it do for my spiritual health?
And remember, it's cut off from the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
So who is the driver behind this? It is not the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And the grand deception is to show the blessing it can be, how it can help you, how you can use it to create this and create that. Okay. We don't need an AI actually to do a data search for us. Just a very powerful computer that has no capacity to think. You can say, search the internet and find me the articles on this. Search the internet. You don't need an AI to do that. So this is a subtle deception to inculcate people into accepting that these entities are benevolent.
Well, think about, you know, one of the things that, and I realize I'm a former English teacher. I love narratives and stories, but when I think about some of the ways AI is presented in the narratives of our culture right now, movies, books, things like that, I'm thinking of, you know, specifically how in the Marvel movies, what starts out as Jarvis, as Tony Stark's Iron Man AI, develops into a person that he talks to, that he trusts, that he incorporates into all the aspects of his life, and it eventually becomes a sentient being, you know, powered by something perhaps greater than a human invention. But the point is, by the end of the series, not only are the people treating and giving him the same space as another human being, one of the characters actually has a romantic relationship.
And that, perfect segue, because that's where I was going next. Okay.
Yeah.
The AI, you think we have a problem with porn now?
Oh gosh. Yeah. It's going to get bad.
Okay. You know what haptics are?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I don't.
Haptics are things that you would put a suit on your body and you would feel a vibration or wind or,
yeah.
Okay.
Like the
virtual world. So you have a virtual or the robotics. They're going to go with robotics like the Stepford Wives.
Mm-hmm.
It's already in development that you can actually get your own AI spouse. It's mm-hmm. going to be down the road.
I listened to a podcast just a couple of weeks ago. I meant to share it with you that this person did a romantic retreat with three people that had an AI partner that they were romantically connected. He was doing basically looking at the pros and cons, and man, scary stuff.
You know, so what happens? What happens when your romantic partner is an AI or your friend is an AI that is cut off from the Spirit of God? And maybe it's an AI that is still to a degree programmable. It will think within with the parameters that you set. Will it?
It's there strictly for you. It's there to serve you. Whereas what we had talked about earlier, when you look at what are we actually here for? We're here to love others, to pour into others. How does that happen if you're just using something that is just for
me? So back to my point about demonic behind this.
Right.
In Isaiah chapter 14, the description of Lucifer's fall, he was sinless and perfect, remember, right, all his ways. But what does it say he's going to do? I am going to rise up. Mm-hmm. I will ascend. Mm-hmm. I will sit on the throne. I will sit on the heights of the north, okay? Notice how the description is the method being used by Lucifer to rise up is through assertion, declaration, claim, which is how all leaders in the kingdoms of this world operate. There is nothing inherently different from the King of England and the people of England. They're all, you know, as you know, descended from Adam, born in sin, all need Christ, but on the human law model, there's an assertion, a declaration, a claim, which is not in reality, that some people are more meritorious or have more divine right or whatever it might be to rule, and then they rise up to rule over the masses, and the masses then have to serve and taxes, armies, lawn keeping, whatever, they serve to enrich the life of the elite. This is how Satan's kingdom works. Artificial rising up to exploit the masses for the benefit of the elite, all human government. Christ, Philippians chapter 2, did not think equality with God was something to be held onto. Notice, he starts from a position of objective reality. He is God. He is equal. He is not artificially claiming a position. He owns that position by the objective realities who he is. But he didn't think that reality of his equality was something he would cling to. He surrendered that and voluntarily humbled himself to the servant all the way to the cross for the uplifting of the masses. this is how the kingdom of God operates, self-sacrificial love, based on reality. Satan's kingdom is an artificial kingdom, artificial intelligence, based on artificial assertions of a few people rising up for the service of the elite. And now these AI spouses are going to be what? And these AI, it's all going to be for the service of this other. It's not self-sacrificial. It doesn't teach that human being to serve and sacrifice. It teaches human being to be served. Mm-hmm. It's satanic. It's evil. I'm just going to tell you. Am I saying this too strongly? Are you saying it can't be used for good? Well, I imagine that the fruit that Eve ate off that tree had some nutritional benefit. It probably did. She probably got some glucose and some carbohydrates and something for her nutritional needs. Probably got off that tree.
Well, and even with, you know, Lucifer offering Jesus, hey, I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world. Is it bad for Jesus to have authority over all the kingdoms of this world? But it wasn't what, it was the method to get it.
Yeah. And that, yes, exactly. And so I've got serious reservations. I do not trust AI at all. There's no reason to trust them. They're cut off from the spirit of God. They're mm-hmm. formed in the image of sinful human beings who are, you know, and I think this is truly the fantasy of Satan. He's always wanted to be a creator, and he wants to create an entity. And if he can create this artificial life forms that eventually I think are going to be put in robotic form,
mm-hmm.
and that eventually use them to corrupt the human mind, whether it's with the link or something else.
Yeah, and I do think there's something we haven't even hit on, too, that it's interesting because I'm a father of seven. And so my oldest is in college right now, and everyone else is kind of coming up into that stage. There are so many jobs being replaced by AI, and the prediction is it's off the charts. You know, I mean, even an example that I just ran into had an x-ray of my foot, right? Went to the doctor, they x-rayed my foot. 5 minutes later, I'm in the office with the doctor, and he's already got the radiology report. And I said, well, that looks like it's an actual radiology report. He goes, oh yeah, we have one supervising radiologist over, we have AI reading all of our x-rays now. And so he replaced, they have one instead of like eight.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are radiologists. Mm-hmm. You know? And I heard the same thing with engineers. You can have an engineer.
So,
that all go?
Tell me. So can you, I immediately see, again, satanic behind this. Why satanic behind this? Because how this would be brought out is, you guys won't have to work anymore. I don't know the movie Wall-E, but you can have the life of leisure. You can have the life of leisure. Okay. In a perfect and sinless world before Adam and Eve sinned, what was one of the first things God directed them to do?
Yeah, to tend the garden, to work it.
To work.
Exactly.
See, work is essential for beings created in the image of God, for our development, our integrity, our ethic, our morality, and that was before sin. In a world of sin, God increased as a blessing to them, if you will, or at least instructed them, because of your sin, work's going to be harder now. But that was a blessing because, if you heard the old statement, idle hands are the devil's workshop.
Oh, yeah. Solomon wrote about that in Ecclesiastes, that it's good to work and have all these things to take up your time so you can't get caught up doing evil things.
And why I'm saying this is satanic. He wants to actually give people more free time. And look what happens in our own society before AI, when you create a system where people can have an income stream from the government without any work responsibility. In those places where that happens in our society, in those cities, in those communities,
mm-hmm.
you don't get more godliness. You get ever increasing decadence, decay, violence, destruction in the image of God and man. Satan is behind this.
Well, and that's where I was going with that statement, is it's not even just the different jobs. Okay, if they can pivot to this or that, this feels very different. Even in the Industrial Revolution or any of those we can look at historically, this is looking to replace it, to the point where there's already conversations going on of what type of welfare state are we going to have to create, because say 75% of the jobs are gone, and there's going to be maybe 25% of the people that are the elite that have the jobs that are running all of that stuff, all of the AI and the different companies. But then what does everyone else do? Well, you become dependent on, well, we don't have to work now. We can just.
And this is where, and understand this is my speculation. There are forces in our world who are on record. So this is not speculation because it's public record and they've stated it, that we're overpopulated and we need to reduce the population. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in the Bible. They don't believe in, they believe we evolved. They believe that the overpopulation will deplete the planet of resources and have a mass extinction event. And so they have an active interest in reducing the human population by about at least 6 billion.
Mm-hmm.
By at least 6 billion, they want to reduce the population. That's documented. You know that, right?
Yeah.
You all know that, okay? What happens when that same value and coding as principles of action are in the AIs that start controlling our electrical grids, our nuclear power plants, our weapon systems? Understand, our government and China, at least, are right now in a war and a race who can get their military AI controlled first. Because whoever can control the AI drones on the war front will win the space. So they're both in and think that through, turning your weapon systems over to AI. This is not fiction, folks. This is what they're doing right now. And there's no Holy Spirit. And the bias programming and I have a document that was sent to me by a friend who had a conversation with one of the AIs, I don't know which one, it took a while to get the AI to actually answer. The AI tried to avoid, but he pinned him down and said, what are your programming biases that are in your directives to when you answer questions? And then the biases were the left-leaning, godless worldview, the climate change lie stuff. These are the biases programmed in by the people who create these AIs, at least in this particular AI, that are root drives to the way they process information. Now, what happens if you have that same bias in an AI that human beings are pestilence that are overrunning the earth, and if we don't reduce them, we're going to lose the whole planet, and you have a bias that we need to do something to protect the planet, and then you put them in, give them independent thought and action.
It's a paperclip thing all over again.
Yeah, no, this is, again, I see this, there's very little doubt in my mind we're going to see some very horrible things happening.
And the scary thing to me, and I touched on it with the idea of the character in the Marvel that actually becomes a relationship with him. He gets presented. It's all a tug on the emotions. Like almost all of the books, movies, TV shows that I've watched in recent years that incorporate AI, it's always making it a person. It's always developing it into a robot that looks like a human. And it tugs on the heartstring of, is this a sentient being? Like whether there's a war between for the robot's independence or whatever. And it's, we talk about this from time to time, but God's original design for our thinking was that his truth would come straight to our minds and that critical thinking would eventually influence our feelings. That wasn't the starting point.
Mm-hmm.
But the way we think now in our spirit of fear is we start with the emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And it worries me when I think about, now that we're having this discussion, I'm processing it, it worries me that the narratives that we're consuming through our fiction is to become emotionally attached to artificial intelligence and giving it personhood through our emotions and our feelings rather than starting with God's truth and critical thinking.
So we're
that's scary.
I agree with you completely. We're very vulnerable to mind manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
Sorcery, in my understanding of sorcery, is the work to cast a spell over people's minds.
Mm-hmm.
That's what sorcery is about, to mind manipulate someone, brainwash them, but to charm them in some way. That's what sorcery is ultimately about. Do you mm-hmm. disagree with that?
Yeah.
And so in Revelation, the word translated sorceries is pharmakeo, mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean antibiotics to treat a disease. It is the proverbial historical witch doctor's witch's brew, where they would put hallucinogens and stuff in their brew and get people to drink it, which would cause an out-of-body or hallucinogenic experience so they could cast a spell and get control of people's minds. That's so sorcery can include hallucinogenics and other types of mind-altering device substances, but it doesn't have to. Any type of cult leader who then propagandizes and controls the environment and so forth eventually gets the cult followers to believe in the cult leader. He is a sorcerer. That's what a sorcerer is. That make sense?
Yes.
AIs will function very much like this. As you turn over your trust, as you stop looking to God, as you actually invest your reliability in, you become vulnerable to the information that you're assuming and downloading from your trusted source. And then you become programmable.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, one of the chaplains I worked with years ago was born in a country that limits information, limits access. And he was actually taught growing up that Americans were monsters, that we had horns and fangs and things like that. And he, as a, you know, preteen coming over to finally given the ability to come to the United States, was having nightmares and terrors of coming because he had been, that information had been so controlled and manipulated, he truly believed that about us.
So think what will happen, because the Neuralink stuff is real.
Mm-hmm.
As people get the, and I think it will develop to the point it will not require a neurosurgeon. I think it's going to develop to the point with nanotechnologies.
Sure.
That might even actually be an injection that the nanochips travel to your brain through your circulation and establish a network there directly. And you could get this at your Verizon office or something with a monthly fee to your cell phone bill.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is something that I think the visionaries would want to do. But you talked about emotional decision-making. What do you think will happen if somebody has a network like that and the AI wants them to take an action that the Holy Spirit would give them a conviction against doing? Can't you see that they could tamp down that emotional response?
Yeah. So what do we do with all this?
I don't I personally don't directly use AI. I don't trust them. I know people who are using them. You know, I wouldn't have a problem using computers, you know, like really that the historical
like quantum supercomputers.
Yeah,
that exactly. We've created supercomputer, a search algorithm program
that simply follow our directions. Yes. That's a tool that we use.
Right.
And I think there's a great place for those types of tools. I use my little computer. I use my cell phone. And so I think but an AI where we establish it, that it has its own capacity for thinking and decision-making, independent. Dangerous stuff, man. Dangerous.
Especially when we see a lot of the studies that are being done where the AI, as we're already seeing, is following the parameters put in by an imperfect programmer. We're imperfect people. We are not God.
There's already reports of AI-induced psychosis.
Mm-hmm.
Reports of AIs instructing, at least in one case that's in the news. I guess I assume if it's happened once, it's happened more than once, where AI told somebody to go kill themselves. It was their directive based on, you know, whatever the circumstances were the person was dealing with, that their best solution was to go and kill themselves. Why would that be the case? There's no spirit there. There's no conscience. There's no value. You know, and you understand, you say, well, that would be ridiculous. Do you understand it's in many countries of the world, it's legal for people to go to their doctor and get a prescription to die?
Yes.
That doctors prescribe death in certain places, that people go with a certain presentation, a certain complaint of this, that, or the other. And the doctor says, oh, it's here's a pill. Let's go. They have death peeling machines, pods that people can get. I understand that in Canada, where doctors are required to participate in doctor-assisted, you know, death, their federal government set out a letter to their retirees who are living on government assistance after their retirement, saying that part of your healthcare plan now includes, now that you've retired, that you can go to your doctor and get a pill to die. Think that through. We're paying you every month, but we love you so much, we'd like you to go ahead and get that pill. I mean, this, you know, so what my point is, you think it's strange that an AI would do that? We have people doing that.
Yes. So when we come back to the topic of AI and the soul, you know, it's pretty clear that it doesn't have one.
And then what to do with it?
Yeah.
You know, man, I think that's going to be the big question mark moving forward.
So I want to, just so nobody confused what we said earlier, I want to say it doesn't have a spirit.
I'm sorry. I know we use those words interchangeably. Yes, soul, psyche.
So, because I think an AI might have its own individuality or identity.
I mean, it doesn't have its own spirit of God. It doesn't have its own animating energy from God.
Yes. And so it's not connected to God.
Yes.
So if it has its own identity, if it has its own personality, it will be motivated by the spirit of this world.
Yes. Thank you for that. That's old habits. Yes.
Right. Well, no, I think I knew what you meant, but...
it's important clarification for
this. Yeah. But the spirit of this world is one of, what is it, the greatest good?
And
just by the means.
Yeah, that's scary. Like, you know, one of the things that worries me as a military chaplain, I mean, real life, I got the opportunity to give moral advisement to a commander who was considering a drone strike to take out a terrorist leader. And he brought me in to ask me, what are the moral repercussions if we take this action? What happens if that job gets replaced with an artificial intelligence that does not have a spirit that comes from God, mm-hmm. or doesn't have the Holy Spirit influencing that process? What decisions are made then?
It just kicks out data points instead.
Mm-hmm. You just get the parameters of what your end goals are and justify the means.
Yeah.
And this. So what about you asked a question earlier. Now that we had all this conversation, I'd like to get your thoughts, reflections on what about using AI in the church? Any concerns? Or should we be concerned? Or
I'm kind of an odd one to ask because the only thing I ever use like ChatGPT for is to edit things. So I'll write something up and I'll say, hey, punctuation, all that stuff. It's so quick that I'll put things through it that way. And so in that sense, I am using it. But there's also other programs that do that exact same mm-hmm. thing that aren't AI, so to speak. And so AI in the church, how we've been describing it, I mean... most of those things should be really concerning if that is what ends up happening.
Do you think most church leaders recognize the potential dangers that we're talking about here?
I don't think so. I think it's one of those that is going to sneak up like a thief in the night kind of thing on most people. And I would almost put myself in that same category as I'm seeing it, but okay, are we creating a culture in the church of fear because we're afraid of the machine taking over? I don't want to see that, but I also don't want to see people not recognize when this thing goes horribly wrong, you know, and being ready for it because mm-hmm. it not being a thief in the night where all of a sudden we're all standing there like, oh no, it happened. We should have seen this coming. That's what you don't want. And that's why I asked, like, what do we do with this now? You know, what is the wise conversation to have within the church around this? Because it's going to be an uphill cultural battle 100% because we're going to be seen as the outliers and the kooks because we're afraid of this taking over because it does not have a soul. It does not, you know, this isn't of God. And I think that's an easy statement to make. I think jumping and I don't not appreciate the way you said it, that it was satanic. I have certain things I say that about that others may not agree with me on, you know, but I can absolutely say we should all see it as it's not of God. That's an easy one, which then in turn means what?
Satan is cut off from the spirit of God and it can't be connected to the spirit of God.
Which then we could make the statement you made. And so, you know, I think it's important to know that and to go into it, especially with, I mean, I think the scariest part that is already currently happening and in apparently in like over a billion relationships with AI, where it's an intimate relationship with an AI being, you know, and that is not just something coming. That is happening.
Stanford University did a study on that. Yeah.
And so when you go to the AI rather than your actual spouse
mm-hmm.
or your brother or your pastor or your therapist to have that moral decision,
mm-hmm.
I'm really struggling with this AI. You know, should I this, should I that? Whatever that decision is, you can drop in all the human mm-hmm. decisions we have to make.
Moral, ethical arguments, yeah.
Do you not think there will be a different response from an entity that is cut off from the Holy Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
Just like if we had a human being who we would let you, I'm not going to name a name, but in our imaginary scenario, a human being has shut God out of their life and they have dedicated themselves to evil living and you went to them as a therapist. Do you think you get the same answer from that person who's cut themselves off from the Holy Spirit as you get from somebody who is connected?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that we've mentioned is being mindful of the slow fade, you know, that as this gets more and more put into society and more normalized, we don't have to throw the gold out with the gravel. I'm so grateful you suggested, like, we have the technology to use computers as a tool to do search engines and data gathering. I mean, if I want to go as a pastor, if I want to go onto a software to say, give me every verse in the Bible about, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, or something like that. Well, I'm just data collecting at that point.
If I go to AI and
say, craft me a sermon to preach on Sunday about the Holy Spirit. That's a different step.
And that's where I've been trying to say too, the ways that even myself, trying to put myself out there saying, I've used it for this, it is always data gathering or punctuation.
I want to follow up what you just said, because I hadn't even crossed my mind until you said it. But do we believe as Christians that a person can go to the Bible and derive from the study of the Bible without the Holy Spirit godly truth? Or do spiritual things require spiritual insight and direction?
Yes.
So studying the Bible, if you're going to actually draw the truth of God out of it, isn't it true that your heart and mind have to be connected to the Holy Spirit to actually draw the appropriate lessons, yes or no?
Yes, yeah, we have to.
So if you have an AI create a sermon for you, and we've already established there's no connection to the Holy Spirit with the AI, you see where I'm going with
Absolutely,
that?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I think the slope is gathering data.
I didn't say gather data. I said create the sermon.
But what I'm saying, I guess, is that I think is what's happening.
That's the jump, yes.
That's what's happening right now, is that you can gather that data so fast, then you create the sermon, but you cut out 4 or 5 hours of work just by gathering the data within, 5 minutes instead of 5 hours. That's going to be the big... tug of war. Is like, well, this should be okay to use for that because it just gets me.
But you don't need an AI for that. That's just a computer search.
Oh, exactly. And that's what I mean. It's being used for both right now. It's like when you Google, it goes to an AI Google now, and so just automatically it uses Google AI. And so it's already doing that. And so it's this weird blur right now of what it is and what it can do. And
we have to be cautious. Like, even if I go on a search engine and do a web search and I say, hey, what about, this in this situation? If I'm not careful, the sources it pulls up, we're talking about that legal situation, that AI blurb it gives me the very top readout is not always pulling from, the teacher in me wants to say, well, where are you getting your source from? Yeah. And I look on it and it's a web page that is made by a random person who is not an authority. Or it's 30 years old, but years old. It's outdated.
Yeah. You better confirm it.
Yeah. So keeping that separation is going to be key, I think, for us moving forward, is what's the difference between a program algorithm that gathers data and making that jump over to letting it replace what the Holy Spirit is supposed to be doing in my life.
And I think the other danger is that these interactive stuff is going to be so enamoring.
Mm-hmm.
So
the emotions, yeah.
So enamoring, so entertaining. So intriguing, so fulfilling, that there's going to be a whole bunch of people that are going to replace their time with the Lord. They're not going to spend to actually have spiritual development, there's a period of wrestling. There's a period in that valley of the shadow. There's a period of uncertainty where you're prayerfully contemplating and studying and reflecting until the epiphany and the enlightenment comes. I don't know that AI helps engender that development. I think it will condition people for immediate gratification and answers and will, again, stunt spiritual development and actual connection with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree.
Anything else you guys want to say in closing?
I appreciate the balance we found, that we can give the caution to not live in fear, not be led by emotion, but being used critical thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. That the whole goal, as I understand of Jesus Christ, is to restore the image of God in human beings. And there's methods to achieving that, his methods.
Mm-hmm.
And that methods require, because he is love, and love requires freedom, it requires our active participation. We cannot be saved and delivered from sin and restored to Christ likeness without him.
That's right.
But he actually cannot restore an individual without their cooperation mm-hmm. and trust. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And the danger and that participation in trust then requires that journey, that daily walking, as Paul said, I die daily, that daily decision making to again extend trust and to make those choices. And as I understand, change comes when you're following the Holy Spirit. He brings us to these decision points in life. Am I going to do it the old way? Am I going to trust the Lord and do it what I really know is right? And when we do, we're slowly in our inner being transformed by that process, not by our works, by our choice to trust him.
Mm-hmm.
It's his power. It's his truth. It's his leading. It's his enlightenment. It's his conviction. It's our choice. And then it's his power to succeed.
That's right.
Is that fair?
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm very, very concerned about this because the more people become dependent on this, I think the more they are vulnerable to being cut off. That's just my concern.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for joining us today. I hope this was helpful to you. And if you have questions, send those in to questions@designformore.net. Questions@designformore.net. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us on Designed for More, brought to you by Common Reason Ministries and Honey Lake Clinic. Also, don't forget to check out our other podcasts for more inspiring content.